Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name. For you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12 apostles, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Julianne Kepka was only 17 years old when she was in a plane crash. It was Christmas Eve, 1971. She and her mother had been to Mass and then had boarded the plane to fly over the Peruvian jungle. Julianne was wearing her white dress that she had been confirmed in and high heels to match. She had a few pieces of candy in her pocket and one small cake. She sat next to her mother on the airplane. The plane was struck by lightning. The lightning did such severe structural damage to the entire plane that it began to come apart at the seams as it began to fall. Julianne would later recall that as the plane was falling, She had this incredible response to what was going on. She did not panic or scream or throw up or cry. Rather, she was given this acute awareness of everything that was going on. She would later describe that as the plane was falling, she looked at the trees of the jungle below her. They looked like cauliflower, she said. Julianne would wake up on the floor of the jungle, still strapped into her airplane seat. It was pitch dark, and the rain was coming down in torrents. And her mother was nowhere to be seen. Julianne spent those hours of darkness crouched under her seat, trying to stay dry. And then when the sun began to rise and light returned, she made a crucial decision. Julianne decided that she was going to get up and search for help. At 17 years old, she had no idea how to survive in a tropical jungle. She had no survival kit, no compass, just a couple pieces of candy in that little cake. Her shoes were gone. All that she could remember was her father once telling her, "If you're ever lost, go downhill and look for water. People can often be found around water." Strangely, this sense of acute awareness remained with Julianne. She didn't feel sorry for herself or fall apart or panic. She had this singular focus to find another human being. Acutely aware of her surroundings, she would walk when it was cooler and try to sleep when it was hot. Julianne walked for 11 days through the jungle. Tropical insects burrowed their way under her skin to lay eggs, and then they would dig their way out after they hatched. Leeches attacked her and drained her blood, and she kept on walking. There were 12 people who survived the plane crash, but the other 11, who supposedly knew more about how to survive in the jungle, had been told that they needed to stay put and wait to be rescued. All 11 of them died. Julianne alone was able to finally find a little shack where some fishermen lived. She entered the empty shack and collapsed, and when the fishermen came home, they found her and took her to the local doctor. And she lived. A number of weeks ago, my youngest son, Max, who is 9, asked my husband a question, one of those really hard questions that sometimes children will ask their parents. And this one was a doozy. Max asked his dad, "Dad, who do you love more, me or God? Well, J.D. knew that this was a tricky one. He thought about it and he answered Max, but then later he came to me to see if his answer was okay. This is what he said. And I think it was genius myself. He said, Max, I love God more than you because the Bible tells me that that's what I'm supposed to do. But Max, here's the secret. The more I love God, the more I love you. It's the weirdest thing. If I can love God first, then my love for you becomes deeper and greater and more and better. It's not really an either-or, Max. As long as I love God first, my love for you grows and gets even better. It's like the most mysterious, tremendous mathematical equation. The most mysterious, tremendous mathematical equation. In today's gospel, Jesus hits us with some really hard words. He says, if you love your father or your mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. You must love me first. But it sounds so harsh, doesn't it? To tell a 9-year-old that he comes in second to God? But that, my friends, is the mystery that I want to talk with you about today. The mystery of the love of God. Because I believe that Jesus was right. You and I must put God first. We must love God above anyone else and anything else. To love anyone or anything more than God is to distort our relationship with that one. It is to disobey the great commandment. Your priorities are important. You must love God first. But the great mystery of this love is that it's unlike any other kind of love. For the more that you love God, the more you are able to love everyone else. And to put God first puts all of your other relationships in balance and it rights your life. Whereas to put anyone else in front of God distorts those relationships. And mother against father and mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and your relationships will suffer. There is no better way to love the people you love than to love God first. When Julianne survived in that jungle, she possessed this unique quality which permeated her whole experience. It was, in fact, a sense of awe, of wonder at what God was doing. Amidst this incredible crisis, she was able to realize that someone else was, in fact, in charge. There is an amazing book by Lawrence Gonzalez called Deep Survival. Gonzalez spent years doing research on why certain people would survive both natural and man-made disasters. What quality existed in these people's minds that enabled them to stay focused, to not panic, to endure? And the one quality that he was able to identify is a kind of awe and humility. The people that survived were the ones who realized that they didn't know everything. That there was, in fact, God or a higher power that was in charge of their life. They were able to be awake and to watch in wonder, even in the midst of the most difficult of life situations. When Julianne unstrapped herself from that plane seat and decided to walk, she was willing to give up her life in order to save it. Do you remember Jesus' words? Those who gain their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. She was willing to give up and try, risking everything in the hopes that God might provide for her, to give up control and see what was out there. Whereas the other 11 people thought they knew what to do, they clung to their lives, they stayed put, they waited to be rescued, and they died. Your life belongs to God and God alone. If you cling to your loved ones, if you are too attached to them, you distort those relationships. We must give up control of our lives. Every time we make a decision in life, we must say to God, God, how can I love you best? If you do not love God first, you do not truly love anyone. Your love is not full or perfected unless you love God first and above all else. And only then can you truly love anyone else. That is what I call my loving God survival kit. If you want to survive the jungle of this life, let God be in charge. Love God above everything else. And only then will you truly live. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings.
This community, my family, breakfast.
Bless and comfort those who are sick, lonely, or grieving. Help all those who are in need. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
Jackie, Carol, Elizabeth.
Embrace the souls of those who have died, especially Catherine Blake and Patrick John Butterbrot. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
For Tim.
We pray for the church throughout the world. Help the nations of the earth to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for Ukraine, Nigeria, and all the countries of the Middle East. We ask you, Almighty God, to forgive all the mistakes that we have made, the things that we have done, and the things that we have neglected to do. Help us to become the people that you call us to be.
Almighty God, give us the courage to love you first and above all else, and from that love to love others. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. We need your healing, merciful God. Give us true repentance. Some sins are plain to us, some escape us, some we cannot face. Forgive us, set us free to hear your word to us. Set us free to serve you. God forgives you. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Through Christ, God has put away your sin. Approach your God in peace. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning, everyone, and happy summer. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, you can raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a present, but you have to keep it up so they can see you. Yay, keep it up until your present arrives. We promise we won't make you give a speech. Welcome. So glad you're here today. Every Sunday during the summer, we have these great breakfasts. In fact, today's burrito was out of control. Wow. 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, followed by classes at 9:30 for all ages. See your bulletin for details. Also, Wednesday evenings, if you're interested in reading or learning this summer, variety of classes here at the cathedral from 6 to 8 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Also, details about those classes in your bulletin. During this 10:30 service, there is children's chapel during the summer months, so bring your children to church. We love to have them. They're welcome to either stay in the big church or go worship by song and dance and wiggle room in Cummings Chapel. There will be an open house at Larry Shugart's to benefit the choir's pilgrimage on Saturday, June 28th. Larry Shugart has about the most incredible train setup that I've ever seen in my life. So if you can come, it's a great place to visit. More details are in your bulletin. The choir will be selling tickets after the service, and this is the last day to buy the tickets from the choir. Remember that Sunday, July 6th, we're going to be celebrating our Independence Day. And here at the cathedral, what we've done for the past few years is to worship in the same way that they worshiped in 1776. So when you come to church that day, we're going to do the old, old prayer book, a really old prayer book. Vacation Bible School is Sunday the 13th of July through Thursday the 17th. That's for pre-K through 6th grade, and there are more details in your bulletin. Registration forms are available at the back of the church. And lastly, one of the wonderful programs we offer here at the cathedral, which is open to all of you, is a program called Education for Ministry. It is for people who are really serious about learning about God and reading both the Bible and theology. It's a 4-year program that is similar in its scope to seminary. And we have two people who are going to be graduating from this program. So I'd love to call all of you forward, especially the graduates. And all of you who take EFM, would you stand up, you EFMers, so we can see you? We're so grateful of your great study. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. So Corrine Silverton and Barbara Pfizer will be graduating from this program, and they actually do get a degree from the University of the South at Suwannee. You have given yourselves to 4 years of intensive study of the Christian life. You have read and reflected on the Hebrew Bible in year one, the New Testament in year two, theology and church history in year three, and contemporary issues in the life of the church and your own spiritual lives in year four. Will you, Jay, as mentor, present them with their certificates? Corrine? Barbara? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I commend you to the ministry you have chosen, and pledge you our prayers, encouragement, and support. Let us pray together. Almighty God, look with favor on these graduates who have reaffirmed their commitment to follow Christ and serve in his name. Give them courage, patience, and vision. Strengthen us all in our vocation of witness to the world and service to others through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's give them a hand for all their work. And the EFM class would like to welcome you all to a reception in Ingram for the graduates, and everyone. Anyone wishing to find out more about EFM is invited to join them and learn more about the groups that we have at the cathedral. So thank you, and thank you, Jay, for all your hard work and teaching. God bless you guys. Remember that our Lord gave his only Son because he loved you so much, and God also calls you to give. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And now please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitors who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us now pray in thanksgiving to God with the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Love God above all else, above anyone else, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.